This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that would be us. With the one question. Hang on, we have a standard intro that we do here over at Up North News Radio. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, November 6, 2024. Normally I say it's a beautiful day here up north, but I'm not up north. I'm in Madison here with all of our other friends across the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Albaugh with me as well. And as far as whether it's a beautiful day, that's up for debate, because about 90 minutes ago, former President Donald Trump has been declared to be future President Donald Trump. He will be the 47th president of the United States, and Wisconsin was the tipping point. A late night counting of votes, results from Racine County came in, and it did two things. It gave Tammy Baldwin probably enough votes to hold on and win another term, though in the minority, because Republicans took the Senate, and that Racine ballot results outcome put Donald Trump over the top, and that's where we find ourselves, and we're going to focus on one question this morning, along with giving you all the results. What's next? Todd Albaugh, good morning. What's next?
As someone once said, don't look at me. Good morning, everybody. Pat, it is it's good to be with you. I'll say that as well.
We were here till midnight, and then at that point, we knew it was going to be something that was going to go well into the night. And like I said, it was only 90 minutes ago. And there are still some votes that are out there yet to be reported. There are still some races yet to be called. We'll try to hit as many of them as we can over the next couple of hours here. But again, fair to say, it was great to be here with you as well to take in and try to make sense of what happened. And we were looking for little isolated answers, and it's not. It's a nationwide answer. This entire country shifted to the right, and far more so than almost anybody outside of the Trump campaign and inner Republican circles would have imagined.
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. Not to be too flip, but I guess, the title behind this, Wisconsin Decides, nailed that, as it
nailed
turned
it.
Out. As it turned out, it was, in fact, Wisconsin. And Erie, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, it was 2016 when, again, Wisconsin was the state, when it was called, that put Donald Trump over the top and into the White House the first time. Look, I think you're right. I don't think it is just a one regional or a problem, or not, I should say problem, but a situation. Mm-hmm. Based on the results across the country, and as you said, it appears that U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat from Wisconsin, has won re-election.
In a squeaker.
We'll see about that, but it looks like she has. But overall, there has been a seismic shift in the electorate last night in this country. And we can dissect it all morning. We can take calls. People who are pundits will look back at this. But somebody missed something somewhere, because I think a lot of the polling that was done, a lot of what we were hearing from people, at the end of the day, whether that was people, certain segments that decided not to show up, certain segments that decided to vote for someone else, that margin, or maybe it was just that, again, something was missed, and obviously the majority, 50% plus one, overall last night said, no, we don't like the way that this country is going. I think the question perhaps that people are going to ponder for a while here is, what does this mean? What did they vote for then? Mm-hmm. Was this voting in favor of perceived differences of economic policy? Or, in fact, and I hate to speculate this, was this looking at someone at the top of the ticket and said, I'm voting in favor to give myself permission to reestablish or the things that I actually believe in, which is what Donald Trump believes in, which I hope that's not the case, because that would mean that American democracy has taken a shift.
It would be very easy to say, well, this was just, white people. This was just men. This was Gen X. No, across the line, nearly every group except college-educated suburban women except for that group, Trump made inroads, and therefore Republicans made inroads with just about every group. The most telling one for me when I first started this shift a little bit ago was a moment on one of the networks when they called up a national map to show all the counties in the nation and in which ones had Kamala Harris outperformed Joe Biden from 4 years ago. The map was blank. Not a single county did Kamala Harris outperform Joe Biden from 4 years ago. So what you had, in my view, was people who 8 years ago did not want to tell pollsters they were supporting Donald Trump. The polling got it wrong. 4 years ago, they got it wrong as well, but Biden still had enough votes to win. And again, this time, polling again, Trump overperformed what the polling was. And so there were all kinds of folks who just very quietly, for reasons I'm sure we'll talk about for some time to come, said, I want to go back to this guy and or this direction and or these values. And there's, again, there's not any one of them. For some folks, it was, you know, DEI and wokeness. And for some people, it was about immigration. For other people, it was about the economy. It's just that they all came together for Donald Trump in a way that I certainly wasn't expecting, given the energy, the crowds, the enthusiasm. But again, that's all signal, you know, or I'm sorry, that's all noise ahead of the signal. The signal was the votes.
Yeah, 100%, Pat. And again, I think the question that I was sitting pondering, you know, laying awake until 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning was, I guess I, in my position, you know, on our show, me as a person that has a privilege to sit behind the mic every day, you know, do I need to listen more? Do I, you know, the outcome is done. Donald Trump is going to be the president of the United States once again. Moving forward, and one of my, I was talking to a friend last night, very early this morning, and I thought that this person said it well. We, in our jobs as radio hosts, or I'll speak on the civic media side, we can't just be in the communities. We have to be involved in the communities. And maybe we missed something. Maybe we were talking at people and not listening to it enough to pick up what was happening in these communities, to your point, of what they weren't telling us in polling, but they actually felt.
You know what? I'm going to come at this from a different standpoint. I'm going to take the position instead that more engagement needs to be done by Civic Media, by Up North News, by every other entity that went out there. And by the way, bolstered public confidence in the elections. You don't hear anybody on the Democratic side saying, oh, there must have been fraud, there must have been cheating. No, public confidence was there because of those groups that got involved. Some people will say, yeah, Democrats and progressives need to move a little closer to the public opinion needle. And while I totally agree that there's room for listening, I think job one should always be move the needle. Talk to the public, get the public to understand the importance of, you know, immigration reform, of making investments in people, not just tax cuts for the rich. So I don't think there needs to be a lot of abandonment of values. I think we're just getting started at Up North News and Courier Newsroom and Civic Media with conversations like these, with programs like these that will hopefully move that needle in the future. Once people see what the second Trump administration has been like, what this split well, we don't know yet if it's split control of Congress, but it looks like it might be. We have to see what lies ahead. So I guess to do that, we should turn our attention to some of these other races that have been going on. And let's you want to start with, I think you had the Senate results in front of you here, the most recent ones.
Absolutely, Pat. And again, a bit of good news if you're on the Democratic side this morning. You're waking up to find out that along with those most recent ballots that were counted and reported in the Milwaukee Southeast County area, that means with 98.6% of the vote cast in the U.S. Senate race, incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin has not officially been declared, but is looking like she will be the winner. 49.3% of the vote to Eric Hovde, the Republican, the business challenger, 48.6%. It's 1,658,000 to 1,632,000.
Yeah.
So I mean, so, you know, it's with a smattering of another 65,000-70,000 votes for the third party candidates of Phil Anderson or Thomas Leaguer there.
So at the moment, Hovde trailing by about 26,000 votes. That kind of a nail biter. In the third congressional district, it looks like Derek Van Orden will go back to Washington for a second term. Again, with nearly all of the votes reported, Van Orden at 51.4% to Rebecca Cook's 48.6, a difference of almost exactly 11,000 votes, 211,000 votes to 200,000 votes. Again, Cook performing well in Eau Claire County, La Crosse County, and Portage County. But across the rest of that still gerrymandered district, the congressional lines didn't change from last time around. You saw an overperformance by Derek Van Orden, winning things like Dunn County by 10 points and Pierce County by 15 points, Chippewa County by 5 points. Looks like in Juneau was the biggest margin, 23 points, along with Pepin County. So, again, much of rural Wisconsin, you know, reverting to form. Let's talk about the 8th district really quick, and then we'll talk about legislative races in our next segment here. Because in the 8th district, obviously, we were following our friend Dr. Kristen Lierley, who ran, much like Kamala Harris, ran as good a campaign as you could possibly put together. But the district is what it is, and people looked at it and said they would just as soon go with the Trump-endorsed candidate.
The 8th Congressional District, as Pat was talking about, with 99% of the vote in now, it is Republican Tony Weed. Of course, this was an open seat. Mike Gallagher chose not to run. The Republican Tony Weed is the winner with 57.3% of the vote to Dr. Kristen Lierley, the Democratic nominee, 42.7%. As you said, Pat, again, Dr. Lierley ran. I spent some time up in that district. My dad's stepmom live in Shawnee County, which is just to the kind of northwest of Green Bay. And Dr. Lierley was everywhere in that district. And if you look at Shawnee County, which is a deep purple red, I'll call it, Tony Weed wins with 66.7% to Dr. Lierley's 33.3%. In Brown County, it was Weed 53.1% to Lierley's 46.9%. In Outagamie County, it was Weed 54.6% to 44.4% for Lierley. Two places that Dr. Lierley did win was the Menominee County. Dr. Lierley gets 79.8% to Weed's 20%. And then over in Door County, which has kind of been a bellwether in that district, or at least also in the state, Door County goes for Dr. Lierley 51.5% to Weed's 48.5%. Again, overall in the 8th Congressional District, Weed wins 57.3% to Lierley's 42.7%.
And in the 1st Congressional District, Brian Stile holds on to his seat, defeating Democrat Peter Barca by a 54-44 margin. Let's pause here. We'll unpack some more of the news on Up North News Radio. Others will rejoin programming across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlow. This is Todd Alba. Have a great day.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, welcome back. Mike on the Mayor here on the day after. 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS. And of course, the Civic Media app. And Todd, you go ahead and man and monitor all the texts. Let us know, people. Let us know exactly what you think. How are you feeling this morning? And we're actually bringing in somebody because this has been so stressful for so many people.
A lot of people.
Mental health counselor.
It's actually going to get worse.
And it's both sides. Mental too, health. Right?
No question.
Yeah.
It's a serious thing. I mean, just the, you know, it's.
But you know, the one thing people have to do is realize how little the president has to do with your day-to-day life. You know, he's not picking up your garbage.
I had this conversation at 1:20 this morning with my daughter.
Yeah.
In Madison.
Right, there you go. Perfect example. She's just freaked out that, oh my God,
I've got three daughters. And right. I said, well, tell your daughters that your grandpa is nuts. He's like almost like legally insane.
Yep.
And if they have any problems, give him a call. So we'll just go with that.
Yeah.
I feel better. She's very easy. Okay, I feel better.
But it's almost akin to, it's not exactly, but like when your team doesn't win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I think it's a little bit more important than that.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's not a kid doing it.
No, I don't think emotionally tied. But I think people get so vested
they can't talk to people.
Yeah, I understand that. But if you're one of the people that feels like they're under attack,
yes.
Okay,
totally agree.
And I don't think either one of you can fall into that position. Okay, I think you have to consider how they're feeling.
Totally,
right now.
100% agree with you.
I agree with that.
But I don't think I can honestly say there are some people just emotionally are as much into the Green Bay Packers winning and losing
Their
team losing. I mean, trust me, I've taken those calls. I've met with them. I've had them, whatever, that the emotion, they bring it to whatever level that their emotions can go before it just, I don't know what happens after that. There's things like that where that does happen. And I totally understand in the long run, the ramifications one way or the other. Totally understand that. But what I'm saying is sometimes people let their emotions get so overwhelming that it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a system of checks and balances, although this is going to be a little tougher because we have, you know, for things to get approved, they have to go through the two houses. And those are Republicans. Do you know that? They won the Senate.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to win the Congress. And obviously, they own the executive branch. So, but I don't know that.
I know a guy. Okay, I'm going to tell you a true story. I almost hate to say this. The guy lived close to us in my hometown. Packers, and he had made a big wager on it. He committed suicide after the championship game. And I'm not even lying about that.
Yeah.
And he bet. Anyway, wonderful family. Had a good job.
That's why they don't let you bet on presidential elections.
I know, but he literally made a huge bet and was so whatever. And he killed himself. And I'm not lying about that.
Yeah.
It's a guy in my neighborhood in the UP.
Well, this is nothing that... there are some things that are going to change. I'm interested in talking to this psychiatrist who's coming in here, this sociologist. I don't know what her title is. But,
mental health counselor.
Okay. I've seen them all, so whatever.
no comment. Maybe you'll find one that works. Maybe you'll find one that works.
I think she's actually here for you, hey, Jim.
Oh, she is. Okay, good.
Jim, we didn't want to say anything, but we're glad you're here.
Put the bill on my desk.
Close the door, Tom.
I think people heard things, and they're probably not going to happen. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. You know what I mean? So I don't.
There's
know.
Sound bites too, though.
Right,
a lot of
that's
stuff.
What I'm saying.
Sound bites,
and you know, far be it for Trump to say something off the script, you know, and people, I heard him say that. That's not going to happen.
Do you want a couple of the messages that are coming?
Yes,
in?
Absolutely. We want to hear from the people today.
Mark says, "You have any funeral music for the USA today?" Sarah says, "The whole thing about Door County predicting the winner was inaccurate." Chip says, "Make America great again. Suck it up, Democrats." Somebody said, being a senior, I worry about my Social Security and Medicare with Republicans in charge. So it's kind of...
okay, I will say this. I will say this. You mess with my bleeping Social Security.
Good luck, guys.
I will go insane
on
that.
Guys.
He did say that.
I will go crazy on that.
Good luck.
Yeah. They're not going to mess with yours because you're already there. But, and I don't mess isn't the right word, but they're going to adjust people who are probably 45, 50 right now. Because... In terms of they may increase the age to 67 till you're eligible instead of 62. They might do a means test, which I actually...
A what?
The means test. It's like, do you really need Social Security? Like, if you got millions of dollars...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Do you need, so take those people off. Like, if your net worth is, I don't know, pick a number, 10 million?
Gotcha.
And there's people
worth
that.
Where's that number going to be, though? That's my question, right?
I agree. But those are the things
because
I've
been putting in for Social Security for quite some time in my life, right?
Yeah, you have. Yeah. So they're going to tweak that.
Well, they can tweak this. That's all I'll say this morning.
Wow. Tweak this?
Well, I just, this is how
I feel. Put that on the t-shirt.
Yeah.
It'll be on the t-shirt with mayor stuff.
But Social Security, you know, that was, you know, as Pat Paulson would say, I know. But he said,
how old are we if you're bringing up Pat Paulson?
I saw his show so many times because we started Social Security to help the old people problem, and now we have more old people than we ever thought we would.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
But there are more people taking than paying, so we got to adjust that. So I don't want to. I don't think people.
Did you take
yours?
Less.
No, I don't take it.
I took mine at 65.
My brother took it at 62.
Yeah, that's too. I didn't want to concede yet. Do you know what I mean?
I think I would agree with that. Once you take Social Security,
you almost feel like
I'm going down the hill.
Although I will say this, the greatest checks I've ever received my entire life was when I was in college and my dad retired from the mine, and I was still going to school, so you were still kind of like a dependent, and I'd get like a $250 check every month from the government. It's like, wow, was that great money?
What'd you spend that on?
Oh, I blew it.
Yeah.
Oh my.
You invested
God,
it.
God, did I blow that? Oh my gosh.
What Why did you get a check?
Because I was going to college, and he was retired, and I was under 21. So you'd still get, you'd get Social Security benefits.
To the kids?
Yeah. Huh? I was still a dependent.
I don't, you know.
does that sound like it should be, Jim?
No. I remember this whole
thing. Hey, where's my check?
Right.
There's a knock at the door. It's somebody from the government. You're here for John Minor. Right. Something about some checks.
Right. You start yelling at the mailman for not showing up on time. Jeez.
That's true.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, I want to say that it doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference. I didn't mean to say, like, this is just a football game. This is very serious. But
No. All I'm saying is, people's passions reach a certain level and there's no more. You know what I mean? They bring it to the full brim of the cup.
I think people think the worst. And I think there's some good stuff that might happen. Like, we could reform our tax code, which is long, long, long overdue. Remember they were going to do that when Mark Green was in there, and then 9/11 happened, and because we got distracted, I'm like,
"Okay, can I just say this? Are you okay? Was that like a rhetorical thing, or were you, Jim Schmidt, asking John Minow? Remember about the tax reform? are you serious?
Rhetorical.
Let me ask you, what college did Lynn Dickey go to, Jim?
John, that was like the buzz. People were talking about you could do your taxes on the back of a postcard. You know, no, you don't.
Okay. I'm good with that. As long as it doesn't mess me over.
No, it's going to be good. We have an opportunity to fix some things that we've needed to fix for a long time. It's not all bad. There's some good stuff that's going to happen. Even though you're like, maybe like, oh my God, what happened? There's some good things that are going to happen.
Let's keep a scorecard.
Okay, cool.
Keep the texters coming.
We will.
Texas folks, give us your feelings. Minor the Mayor, back after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on post-election day. Please bring in people. And again, from day one, from the first things we ever spoke in this show was it's not going to be a quote-unquote political show. But if politics are the biggest thing happening that we're talking about, we are going to talk about it. So please give us your text. Give us whatever you want. We want to hear from you. Got a text here. I'm happy that I got to vote for the first female presidential candidate. I must say I'm disappointed in the outcome. I fear for my LGBTQ friends and women's rights. And now my Social Security benefits as I'm 57 years old. Thanks for a great show and asking for our opinions. So please keep them coming. Todd will read them all back to us.
That text is a great intro to our guests.
Absolutely.
We have with us, this is going to be an interesting part of our show here today, Nicole Norcross. She is a mental health counselor at Bellin. And you're referred by people that have anxiety issues.
Yes.
Go ahead. What would you say? This guy's worried about his life and because of an election last night. And I was saying, well, it's not that big of a deal, and yet it can be. I mean, what do you say to someone
emotionally, they invest so much.
This guy's like, you know, Social Security, the rights that he feels may be taken away.
Right. So I think anxiety just indicates our very human tendency to want control. And especially when it's something that overwhelms us because it matters to us, like Social Security benefits or reproductive justice. You know, obviously that anxiety is going to be there, and it's really, you can't just have no anxiety about these kinds of things. So how you let it control you, though, that's
being human.
Yes, right? Exactly.
It's a quality we're born with.
Exactly.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. You can totally choose how you want to respond to that anxiety, though. So
let's talk about some of the ways you can respond. Let's say you think the world's over now because of what happened last night. Mm-hmm. And I think there's probably a handful of people that believe that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you know, we're going to go to war, or nuclear bombs are coming, or we're going to fight with the Chinese. And I don't know. I think that's stuff that I can see somebody getting that in their head. But what do you say to somebody like that?
So I, any kind of concern someone brings to me that's a big picture issue, I tell them that they need to focus on their scope of influence. So that's something like what you can do with your personal power and agency to enact some change or help others. So I think sometimes we do get bogged down in the big picture issues, and that can lead us to feel extremely overwhelmed. I know I do. So I think what's in your scope of influence is how you react to something, how you manage your emotions, how you ask for support and spend your time, and what you choose to focus on.
All right. So somebody's worried about the sun burning out. Okay. We're going to freeze. The plant's going to freeze. You say, look, don't focus on something more in your neighborhood. Is that what you're telling them?
I give this kind of example. This is helpful. So if you're worried about the future, just consider the scope of your present concerns. So I tell people, add 100 years to where you are right now and think, like, what evidence is there going to be that these issues mattered to you? Okay, so consider what work you will have to do and what will need to be done to positively impact those that are living 100 years from now. Okay, so, and then get started.
Okay, you said one thing, and I'll be, I'm a perfect test tube of being wrong. Of this. it's not.
First time perfect and John Minor went together. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
It's not what happens to you or whatever. It's how you react to those things. And I am the test tube of reacting the wrong way 100% of the time.
Okay.
I'm just saying, okay, somebody does. But so, I mean, it's almost like sometimes people, you're ingrained with a certain something, and that's in your chromosomes, and you have to fight that. So I've got a feeling with what you're saying, people today who are diehard, you know, Democrats or whatever, they have to fight that today, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. absolutely. I think, you know, it's really hard to get overwhelmed when you don't see the possibilities in front of you, and you feel like tunnel vision, right? Like anxiety creates that tunnel vision. So I encourage people, if they're feeling hopeless and helpless today, just talk to someone, get a different perspective here. You know, someone that's like-minded, right? That you can find some solace with, but hopefully that clears the smoke for you a little bit, and you can just walk away from that conversation thinking, okay, I didn't think of it this way. I have some hope now.
Because what I do is I keep it inside and I internalize it and it builds and builds and smolders.
Boy, does he.
Why do you do that? No.
I don't know. I don't want to do that. So I need you. I need to come and visit with you.
Yeah, he does. You do not want to be the recipient of when he takes the top off.
Nicole, so. I had a question for you, because I think, especially now with our political system and just a life in general, social media plays such a big role in how we respond to everything and really what we're fed because of the algorithms and all
point,
that kind of stuff.
That is a great point.
Have you seen that in your time?
Yes, 100%. And especially with TikTok. So
yeah,
my patients probably, if they hear me say this, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, Nicole, again, I hate TikTok.
Jim and I literally don't know what that is.
No.
It's a social media.
Right.
It's little videos, but a lot of people, that's where they get their information from. And it's almost like what's fed to them is what they want to hear.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So they're not getting the clear picture.
That is a really good point. I want to hear from you, Nicole. Do we address you, doctor? You would just do.
I am not a doctor.
Okay, all right.
No.
Sorry.
Just so, Nicole is fine.
All right.
We feel like you should have a different title. We should have like something cool.
You kind of look. Yeah.
Let's counselor.
Say, counselor.
Yeah.
She's a psychotherapist.
Yes.
Okay. We're not going to call you that.
No, that's a little weird.
That makes
me nervous.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay, we're going to stay away from that.
She's going to give me a report on you guys on the show.
So. This isn't going well.
She'll just write.
But I will say one thing about social media.
Two words. You're right.
I will say this. Whether it's TikTok, which we don't understand, in general, though, okay, like when we were growing up, we had Walter Cronkite at 6 o'clock or whatever, okay? And that was it. Right, Jim?
Yeah, it was.
Like, or you get the newspaper in the morning or in the afternoon. And that was both. Now, right here, what's Jim doing? Holding it in his hand 24/7.
Exactly.
We don't get away from it, right?
There's no break. And I think, so TikTok especially is something that's designed to keep you engaged. So what do people tend to engage with the most? Something that scares them, right? So if you're scrolling over and over again, it's designed to heighten your anxiety, get you scared, but also, like, you can't get yourself away from it. It's like looking at a train wreck, right?
Is it legitimately programmed that way for these things you just said?
Well, or I don't want to say happen? That on the news, but
okay. But well, kind no, of course they want to keep you.
I think in general,
exactly.
I think in general, we could say just, in general that social media is programmed to spark your
keep
interest,
keep you engaged, right? Yeah. Keep you attentive,
keep
to
you coming back. They want to get up to 4 hours, 5 hours. I mean, that's what these people look for, and it's crazy how much time people spend on Facebook.
You know,
I don't know the TikTok, but I should pick up what Johnny was talking about with you know, we're both similar in age and. We don't really know what that is.
Who looks
but
older? Be honest. Oh, be honest.
I plead the fifth.
No. She just winked
Nicole
at me.
Nicole gets a bell.
she just winked
it's
at me.
It's hard to get a bell from Todd. I got to be honest with you.
Nicole, I ask my students, where do you get your news? And I think that is a question, even in my previous job, people come up and say, you know, mayor, the city's going to hell. And I'm like, where do you get your news? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to tell people that, you know, sometimes everybody's MSNBC or everybody's just Fox, it's like, wait a minute, the real world's in between there somewhere.
Absolutely. I encourage people to kind of create their own newsroom a little bit, like seek different perspectives from different credible sources, of course. You know, I think that you are absolutely right. There are polarized news sources, and we want to differentiate that a little bit, for sure.
When you have somebody, and I'm not going to talk about any of your patients or clients, mm-hmm. or however you want to, but in general, do you see anything like, maybe in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, there was like a different, almost like theme of what was going on. Do you find that right now? What's going on right now that is really getting in people's minds?
I would say some of the things I hear that are at the top of people's minds are reproductive justice, immigration, and...
So big campaign type of things, huh?
Yes.
I mean, they're taking that personal, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And for some people... It's not something that they can just say, okay, I'm going to be all right. I mean, they are absolutely fearful for what's going to happen to them in the future. And I just have to validate that. I'm not going to be in the position to tell them you have no right to feel that way. I can certainly help them manage those feelings, but I do need to validate why they have that position.
That's interesting. And those are two of the biggest issues right now when I'm being on
you
the
left,
so one
awesome.
On the right.
Having somebody in here that's like really smart.
I know.
Instead of you and me talking.
Well, that
to
happens
each other.
Every time we bring a guest
I know.
In. But,
the thing that bothers me too is we can't heal, we can't move on, all right, if you're feeling like you need that when another side is provoking it. Okay. We had somebody text in, get over it, Democrats, you know, blah, blah, blah. Can we at least show some compassion to the Republicans or the Democrats or, you know, what? There's got to be some understanding that we're still all human,
has it gone
right?
so far
That's what
over
I'm
the
saying,
cliff
right?
type thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a way to back it up and say, hey, let's all just do this together?
I wish I had that answer for you. I think, though, that one thing that unites all human beings is we're always scared about something.
Yeah.
It's always about fear of something. And that's how I have some empathy, is just remembering our humanness. But it is hard sometimes when we feel threatened, right? Definitely a complicated question there.
But you know what? And I'm going to go back to something, Jim. I'm going to go back to when Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford was, and he was, you know, named president or whatever, and then Reagan was going to run. And it's like, you know, Ford had all the right answers for whatever. And all of a sudden, Reagan came out with the big red menace against from Russia. And that, like, out of the blue, Russia hadn't been doing anything, you know. But that hit a chord, and he went on to win because that scared people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like what you're saying, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes.
We did get a text. Somebody has a question for Nicole. If you have a child who is showing anxiety, what's the process? A referral needed from a primary physician?
Very good question. Thank you. So I work for the Bellin Hospital System. So how we take on referrals is you need a Bellin primary care provider, so Bellin doctor, and they can place a referral for you for our counseling services. And we have many clinics all over this area. So.
Can I ask you how you got into this? Why you got into this? There had to be some. Jim always, he always asks every time we bring somebody that's really successful, whether it's a musician or whatever, what was that spark? What was that,
how do impetus.
I? Impetus. Yeah, the impetus to really, this is what I want to do.
So when I was at University of Wisconsin-Madison for my undergrad, I went and I saw a counselor at the student counseling sure. services. Yep. Yes. Yep. And she was really inspiring to me, and I really looked up to her. So essentially I wanted to
that's
be
awesome.
Like her.
That's awesome. You know what?
That's
and
cool.
again, we get that same answer from musicians, yeah. from whatever. There's yeah. always that yeah. individual other person that really provided the spark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you went to see a counselor when you were in college. As you know, I have kids. That's okay. You know what I mean? I think yeah. when we were, Johnny and I were in school, it was like the weird kids went there. But I mean, it's like we go to physical.
We didn't even have that in my era. There was no such thing.
But I think we go to get, you know, we go to work out our bodies, and we need to go kind of, maybe we need some help with our minds too.
Right. And I think that, you know, we worry about what big impacts we have to make, right? Like these big picture issues. But this story reminds me of, we can be that person we want to see out in the world, right? So, like, we can be that role model for somebody. I think I just told somebody yesterday, like, you know, your students or your patients, right? They're going to remember you more than they're going to remember, like, some political figure, right? They're going to remember, you know, your impact, right? And that offers me some comfort.
Well, too, I think we talk a lot about volunteering in the community.
Yeah.
Getting involved with something where you can make an impact in the community might be a way to get your mind off all this other
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, if you sit and stew on something like this, there's no good ending, is there?
No.
But you talk about transforming anxiety into action, which I think is a good idea, because that anxiety is energy, and you got to get rid of it some yeah. way, somehow, and you don't want to do it through alcohol or something
right.
else. But to unite with like-minded individuals. So like what, on an issue? Tell me about that.
But we're going to hold that thought. Sure. This is a really good question. We're going to send it to a break. This is a really good question.
Okay. Right.
And please feel free, whatever you're feeling, let it out, because there's so many. I guarantee you, we got lots of people out there that are so despondent today and depressed and mad, and other people that are so jubilant. So we just want your opinion on
how to deal with it.
Exactly. So we'll be back. Nicole Norcross, psychotherapist, Bell and Health, back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here in the morning after, of course, the big election. We got texts rolling in. Keep them coming, Todd. Does this mean our voting system is fine? Since Trump won, I guess there are no deceptive ballots. Another one, Elon Musk. What secretarial position will he now get? I got another one here. I'm just going to read them all, folks, so keep the text coming. I couldn't be happier with the election results. President Trump is exactly what we need right now. For those worried about what he will do, ask yourselves how our economy was last time he was in office. DJT kept us out of wars. World leaders respect and fear him. He did not ban abortions. I could go on and on, but I just hope people will calm down, give the man a chance, and stop spreading all the lies. We really do want the best for our country.
I got another one here.
Okay, go ahead, Todd.
Another one that says, hard time listening this morning, not going to lie. And I just want to respond to that. And I don't normally get involved with the show, but the person who sent that, you know, I have conversations with that person every day. I think that's an easy way to put it. I think it's easy to say, just calm down. If your side had lost, how would you be feeling this morning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can guarantee that you would have some of the
but
same
I don't
anxiety.
Think, when he said hi, or him or her, it said hard to listen. I don't think we're taking a side in this
no,
way,
no,
right?
No,
okay,
no, no.
I just want to make sure that's...
I think they're just, it's hard to listen this morning going through what they're
Got
going
it.
Through.
Right.
Yep.
I do, the last texter though, the last line is, we really do all want what's best for our country. I mean, we do. We really do. We want safety. We want our kids to grow up, be successful. You know what I mean? Sometimes right. you have to remind people. I mean, nobody's getting in there to do bad things to us. It's just how they're going to do the good things is what causes people some angst.
Right. And I think that, I don't know, I've said to people, you know, I'm glad that you just vote and that you are informed,
totally
right?
Agree.
And I do disagree with some individuals and who they chose to vote for, but they are doing their duty in this democratic society. So, you know, that's wonderful.
And once again, I want to reset Nicole Norcross, psychotherapist, Bell and Health. And we're talking about how this election has been so emotional for people that some on this morning right now, some people are very much struggling, I assume. Right.
And what are your pieces of advice? And then before break, we were talking about this is transforming anxiety into action. But you say if you're going to do that, you know, don't sit around and stew and, you know, dig a deeper hole and
buy a bottle of Jack.
Right. And do that. But,
Kessler's.
Get out and do
Kessler's
something.
A lot cheaper. Just
be honest. And go buy yourself some olives. And but transforming anxiety into action. But you say that to unite with like-minded people, that is a question that I have. Mm-hmm. How do you find like-minded people?
Well, let me say this. I think that we get in trouble when we have this belief that we must go through something alone and that makes us stronger, right? That's like a pretty antiquated belief.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
But, you know, I think that finding ways to contribute to a cause, whether individually or collectively, is important. And when I say trying to find like-minded people, I am not saying, you know, bury yourself deeper in an echo chamber of just the same ideas over and over again. Obviously, you know, branch out, try to find some kind of middle ground. But it is really important. We, as human beings, we look for connections. We cannot do this alone, right? Like dolphins cannot exist alone. So we are just like, you know, that. So you have to find people that you can express your feelings with. And don't think you have to do this on your own.
Okay, you're. I'm not going to ask how old you are, but obviously you're younger.
I'm 29 years old.
Okay, thanks.
That's
okay.
Fine.
But so what I'm saying is Jim and I are ancient or whatever. And
I could be your dad.
Yeah, grandpa almost. No, but please, literally, you got started early. But anyway, what I'm trying to say here is, you didn't, I mean, okay, when we go back, it wasn't this nasty. It just was. I mean, the first president I remember was John Kennedy and whoever he ran against and whatever, and it was, and then Nixon even, and
was Nixon.
And Carter, and what, but it's gotten to a point where it gets into people's psyche,
Yes.
So how can people, how can they tune that out? I know we're talking about social media and TikToks and things like that, but it's so ingrained in society everywhere you go, every time you turn on the TV, everything you read on the internet or whatever, it's like, there's good guys or there's bad guys, depending on which side of the fence you're on, and there is no neutral ground. Is that a, I don't want to say a disease, but is that kind of like a mental disease that happens to people because they get so ingrained with that?
That's a very good question. So I think that how we respond to anxiety as very little children is we put things in the all good or the all bad category.
Exactly.
And so I'm not saying that that's a childish way of dealing with anxiety, but it's probably our most instinctual way of dealing with anxiety. And so we can develop beyond that. I think that people, you know, just need to set some limits around social media, especially, you know, if you're in that echo chamber.
You have to make a conscious effort to do that.
Yeah, that's not going to be easy.
Right.
I hate to say it. It's not going to be easy.
Got a couple of texts. Should I share them before
we go
to the topic?
Can you stick around, Nicole? Are you okay?
Sure, yeah.
Right. Great. So I was recently divorced in January, only to realize I can't afford to live on my own at 57 years old. I'm praying something changes in the next 4 years. I'm personally embarrassed by having a person of such low moral character leading my country. One positive look on how local communities have supported public school referendums overwhelmingly. So there's some good news, right?
Those school referendums, I think they all passed, or they sure did here in our listening area in Northeast Wisconsin. You know, I want to go back to the second texter that embarrassed by having a person of so, look, I'm not going to defend the moral character of people who've got felons, right? Yet, I think they have to sometimes look past people a little bit and look more at policy. Do you give that a...
I can't do that.
I know you can't.
I can't. I'm just sharing,
I'm trying to help the people. I'm trying to help this guy or this lady.
But I'm also trying to chime in from somebody who...
Oh, please do.
I can't do that. So that's my problem.
You're more the person versus the position.
Correct.
The policy.
Yep.
Or the policy.
Policies are important, but
right,
they go hand in hand.
Right, but it's the person.
Yeah, I can't throw one out.
Yeah, I agree. They go hand in hand.
Do you think you'll be getting customers? Do you think you'll be getting do you think you'll be getting clients over this, over the election?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We got to set a quick break. Nicole Norcross, psychotherapist, Bellin, back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.